Welcome to Joy of Business with host Simone Millicis, a dynamic business leader with a difference. Simone has founded and operated many businesses from a young age and has always done business differently. Today, Simone is the worldwide coordinator of Access Consciousness and travels the world presenting Joy of Business programs using access tools and empowering people to know that they can create business in a different way and make money doing it. Simone Millicis, weekly on OM Times Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Joy of Business on Times. You're with Simone Millicis, your host. And I happen to be in Hong Kong, in Kowloon, in Hong Kong. So we're here for a class that Gary Douglas is doing, Choice of Possibilities. I've also got a Joy of Business book launch here because my book has just come out in Chinese, which I think is the 11th language that it's in. So it's very cool. I'm very excited. We've got an amazing view here from the room over the river, and Mr. Christopher Hughes probably has a view of a river too. He's in Brisbane, Australia, and he's the one that's joining me here today. Welcome, Christopher.
Well, thank you very much, Simone. I think the last time we did one of these calls was from Copenhagen, Denmark, not all that long ago.
It wasn't all that long ago, huh?
So no, it's
today,
exciting the way
I'm
life changes.
I'm excited about topics. What's that?
I'm saying it's exciting the way life changes.
It is. Have you got your excited face on?
I do. It's super excited.
Awesome. So today's call is what I'm really excited about, actually. It's called, well, it's, I'm interviewing Chris about an upcoming telecall that he has with Mr. Gary Douglas, the founder of Access Consciousness, and it's called The Art of Consumption. Now, can you tell me a little bit about the name? Like, what does it mean to consume? Why is that an art?
Well, it's a bit of a tongue-in-cheek name, but it also is interesting because consumption in this reality is judged so hard. You know, it's supposed to be a virtue to have less and to not consume and to do without and to have sort of a subsistence style of living. So the art of consumption is about adding to your life and about having more and having a greater life. By choosing to nurture and honor you with things in your life that bring you joy.
Things in your life that bring you joy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like to give you an example, for you inspire me all the time, Simone, with the joy of business you have and the fact that you are involved with so many businesses the world over. And a lot of people would go, why isn't one enough? You
uh-huh.
know, it's this
uh-huh.
it's this idea of, oh, you're a greedy guts. You want more. And what if having more was an art?
I like that. Talk a little bit more about that. Having more is an art. Because I get what you mean with the businesses. Like, I mean, I do so many seminars and people think, that they're only allowed to have one business or they can only work on one project at a time. That's what's projected at you in this reality. And yet there is so much available. There's infinite possibilities available. And then it goes into the question of like, okay, so how do you manage that? Or what choices do you need to make so that it's, you know, easy, ease, joy, and glory, as we say in Access Consciousness. So tell me more about the art of having more.
Well, it's like I'm sitting in my room right now in Brisbane, as you said, looking at the river, and beside me there is a 200-year-old French crystal wine glass full of very good Italian wine, and I'm looking at a 300-year-old English mahogany chest of drawers, and I'm lying on top of a fabulously knitted cashmere throw. And all of these things, well, it would be judged as having too much or being materialistic or being greedy, they all work together to form part of how I live my life and how I choose to articulate my life. And they work together to nurture me and my body in constantly expanding my universe. It's like, have you ever bought a new car or a piece of jewelry or something, and immediately your whole life lit up? You were so excited about having this thing and what it could add to your life. It's not about, ooh, look at me, now I'm super important, I have a really fancy Mercedes-Benz or whatever. It's about the joy that you have with it. You know, it's like one of the things that I never tire of buying is jugs, for some reason, jugs and pitchers. I think I could fill like 3-4 cabinets with different crystal ones and silver ones and porcelain ones and really old ones and really modern ones, and they're all beautifully made, and some of them were thousands and thousands of dollars, but I love all of them, even though it would take me like 2 weeks to use all of them if I had one at every meal. But the fact that they're there adds an energy to my life and an energy to my universe of, well, there's definitely no lack, be it of jugs or be it of valuable things or be it of things that I could sell if I was run on hard times, or things that give me an option or a possibility when I'm setting a table, or, you know, these are all sort of different examples. So it's the art of consumption is the willingness to constantly be adding more to your life, even when people around you think it's insane or think it's too much.
And I
agree
that
with
we
that.
Just got joined by Mr. Douglas. Yes. Hello, Mr. Douglas.
Hello.
Mr. And Douglas, he agrees with me.
He
I
does
do.
Agree
I
with
like
you.
Looking, I like looking at Judd.
Mr. Douglas is a Jug man.
Is a
yes.
Jug man. So, which
yes,
brings you joy. And it's like, that's what we were talking about, is the art of consumption.
Exactly.
And what is, so in your point of view, Gary, how would you explain the art of consumption? And thank you for coming on and joining us. I thought you might be napping, and I didn't really want to wake you up. Wait. Gary's in Hong Kong. I just explained that we're here for a Choice of Possibilities class. So, but thanks for waking up and coming on. So what would be your description of art of consumption? Bit of yawning in the background.
Well,
that's probably, that's good.
I'm sorry. I have to yawn because I was actually sound asleep, and the maid came and rang the doorbell and woke me up, which is good because otherwise I wouldn't have made it.
Now you have fresh towels and you're on the call. Excellent.
Exactly. The best things in life.
Yeah.
The art of consumption is recognizing that you're valuable. You know, one of the things that I did years ago is I went to a thing called Debtors Anonymous because my wife and I had, you know, we owed so much money. We eventually filed bankruptcy, like, 4 different kinds or something. I don't know. We, you know, at any rate, it was not fun. And one of the things that we did with going to Debtors Anonymous is we had to read this book called How to Get Out of Debt, Stay Out of Debt, and Live Prosperously. So, you know, it's like I'm reading the book and I'm thinking, this doesn't really apply to me. I don't understand. Why am I in such debt? And then all of a sudden, I got it, because it talks about how we are self-debtors. And a self-debtor is somebody who always puts themselves last on the list of things or people to receive. And it's like, and that's what I was doing. I was not receiving anything for me. I spent 20 years taking my kids to the dentist and didn't go to the dentist myself. I would wear old, worn-out socks. I'd wear shoes until they were like, going, you know, until holes were in the bottom. But I would never go out and buy something new for me, but I would go out and buy new for my kids. And my wife at the time would buy something new for herself anytime she wanted it. But I didn't have a problem with that. I thought that's the way it was supposed to be. You are the last to receive. And if you make yourself the last to receive, then you're a debtor. You're going into debt to the universe. So the idea that you don't deserve to have. And when you are willing to have things, it's amazing how your life changes.
It is amazing how your life changes. Gary, you have taught not only myself so much, but I know Mr. Christopher Hughes, it's like Brendan Watt, Dane here. They are amongst many of the monsters that you created. where we actually began to receive ourselves. And, I mean, I love the way you put that. It's like always putting yourself last, because there's so many times that we think that that's what we're supposed to do in life. And yet, what if you didn't put yourself last? What if you actually were a priority in your life? It's like, what would you start to choose? So we have a few minutes before the next break, but I was wondering if you could talk about how you sort of start to change that mentality of that as well.
Well, when I first realized that I was self-dying, I went, wow, I've got to be willing to spend money on me too. I have to include myself in the computation of what I'm buying or what I'm spending or where I'm going or what I'm doing. And I would spend all the time and energy to try and make other people feel good or feel better. I would do everything for others, but I would do nothing for me. And if you don't do something for you, then you don't have the art of consumption, but you do have the art of neglect. And it's like most of us neglect ourselves in favor of others all the time. That's what you're supposed to do as a parent. But it's like if you're not there, it's like, what do the kids really have? And when I realized at one point that I was dying, I thought, well, you know, my kids would be fine. They've got a good head on their shoulders. And I realized that, you know, yeah, they might be okay. They would. But it's like, what was I actually leaving them except the idea that I had no value and everybody else did? That's not the lesson you want to give your kids. It's not the lesson you want to have in life. You want to have that place where you know you can have things and then you end up having things. Just because it's fun.
I like that. And I like the way you're saying it. It's like you actually have value. So, Christopher, I've heard you also talk about, like, when you first started, creating things in your life, like the jugs, that you started off even buying, like, just one silver spoon. It's like, can you talk more about that as well? It's just a hint to how people actually start creating more for their life. Now, we do have about 1 minute to go. Actually, let's wait till after the break, and let me do a little bit of a promo for we'll leave everyone a cliffhanger with that question, waiting for Chris to give you some more information about even just buying your first spoon. So, but we do have a call coming up with Gary Douglas, the founder of Access Consciousness, who you hear me talk about all the time, and Mr. Christopher Hughes, and it's called The Art of Consumption. It starts in August, on the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd of August. So that's actually going to be, in America time, 31st of July. No, is it? I've got Brendan here, the schedule master. Anyway, we'll find out. It's in the beginning of August, so, and there'll be a link here that you can sign up for that as well. So you're going to have like 3 days with these two gentlemen giving processes and tools and teaching you to have more value of you on the art of consumption and finding out how you can do that. So if you want to find out more, you can go to accessconsciousness.com. And in the meantime, we're going to head off to a break. And then when we come back, we'll hear more from Christopher Hughes on how to start even just simply with a spoon. Have you bought into the idea that you have to work hard for your money, that business is hard? I will share some dynamic Access Consciousness tools to get you out of your own way so you can create a business that actually succeeds. Join me, Simone Millicis, on The Joy of Business at 4 p.m. Mondays Eastern.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
The truth is, you can't change the world if you're broke. I know, I tried. Isn't it time you turned your life's calling into a profitable, freedom-based business? I'm Michelle Barr. Join me every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern for Sacred Success.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for School Girls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is. The cutting edge of conscious radio, Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. You're Simone Millis, is your host on Joy Business. And today we have Mr. Gary Douglas and Christopher Hughes, and we're talking about the art of consumption. What the hell is that? And we left you on a cliffhanger. Oh, Mr. Douglas, they're going to give you more information about how he started with just a simple silver spoon.
Yes. Well, it wasn't actually just a simple silver spoon, but you're close. It was two small silver salt dishes. My own sort of version of what Gary's talking about with self-debting was slightly different. I was sort of a gypsy in the world and wandering here and there and everywhere. And I wasn't terribly committed to my life or having much of a life or setting down roots anywhere. And as a result, I wasn't really creating very much for myself. But Gary invited me to come along and manage the Antique Guild, his store in Australia, to which I said, no, that's ridiculous. That would be so intensely boring. I can't imagine sitting in a shop all day. How horrible and boring. And he said,
and
okay,
how long ago
well,
was that?
That was, well, he said, come along for a month. And I agreed to a month. And that was 5 years ago. But in one of the first
events. Has it been boring
we
for
did, it's been so boring. I didn't even realize a month.
Been so boring you stayed there.
Yeah. But at one of these first events that we did where we were showing things, there were these pieces of silver. And I was like, wow, these little sterling silver salt dishes. I think I bought them for like $100, which was ridiculously low. But buying something for me, for my home, for it was actually a choice to commit to my life and to being somewhere and having things that didn't just go in a suitcase and travel along with me. It was the first time that I sort of went, oh, what if I did invest more in me and I had things and a life and a living and a place where I was? And that's how it all really started for me. And it's funny because those two little salt dishes still sit on my kitchen bench. And I look at them almost every day, and they're still one of my absolute favorite things that I have and own. And they still bring me so much joy.
Yeah, I got to agree with that, with the bringing you joy stuff with all of this as well. Because it's like, I mean, one of the things that, you know, as I said, both of you have taught me and Brendan, that to live with beautiful things does create more joy in your world. And what I've noticed is, it invites you actually to create more with everything. Like every night we eat with silver, we eat with beautiful napkins, and it's like we eat with beautiful china. And it's like, it's not just for a special occasion. Our whole life is a special occasion. It's like today, you know, is a great day, and it's like celebrate it with using these beautiful things. And I've got to say, there's sort of like, I mean, you've both spoken about, Gary was talking about having the value of you, seeing the value of you. And Chris, you're talking, you know, more about like the committing to your life. And as I have added more things to my life, I've noticed that there have been some projections, say, from family members who, you know, aren't that keen for me to have a great life. And they've started calling me materialistic. Right? And I'm just sort of like, oh, okay, they don't get it. And it's like I shrug my shoulders and then just keep, you know, adding more to my life. It's like buying my last car. It was such a thrill, and I bought it on the way to the airport going to Costa Rica. I saw it in a magazine, and I rang up the car dealer, and I went, I want that car. And then I got it the day I got back, and that was considered such an extravagance to be buying a car from a magazine that I didn't get to test drive, but it was, you know, arrived at my house the day I got back. And it's beautiful. Like you were talking about earlier, Chris, before Gary came on, it's like when you have these things in your life, like I'm home very rarely. And last week I was driving my car, just the thrill and the sense of peace and joy driving my car. I was like, God, I'm so grateful for this car. It's so fast and it's awesome and it's smooth and it looks after me.
And
so
how many
I love,
does you how many people judge you for having a great car and a fabulous home with wonderful things in it that you're never, you know, you're, from their point of view, never there for? It's such a luxury and an indulgence to have these fabulous, wonderful, beautiful things, even if you're not with them every day. But that's the largeness of the world that you have.
That's also the joy of consumption. Because it's like, you know,
exactly.
I walk into my house, I'm hardly ever home, and I walk into my house and I just go, good God, this place is so beautiful. And I look at the beauty around me of all the things that I've accumulated over time. And it's like they're so unique. People walk in the house and they go, wow, you live in a museum. I go, yeah,
you
I do,
Gary.
But
that's
that was
amazing.
One of the things. It's like, yeah. I mean, it's like I looked around and I didn't know how I wanted to live. It's like I grew up in a middle class family where we had the same furniture in the same location in our house for the entire time. And every time the furniture wore out, we'd get new furniture to replace in the same spots as the old furniture had been. And it was like you didn't really change anything. Everything was the same as it had always been. And so I started looking around going, what? How do I want to live my life? I don't think I want to live like this where everything remains the same. And so, you know, it's like I went through a time I was an upholsterer at one point in my life. Go to these people's houses and they would have fabulous things in their house. And, then, you know, this was in Santa Barbara where there's serious money. And I'd go to these houses and these people would have fabulous stuff. But you couldn't sit on anything. You couldn't, you know, it's like you weren't allowed to sit on the furniture. They had ropes roping it off and stuff. I go, you know what? I don't want to live with things that are roped off. I want to be able to touch things and feel things and enjoy things. So I decided that's what I would do. So I have a house that looks like a museum, but you can touch friggin' everything. You can use everything. You can sit in anything. There's no off-limits places.
But the other thing, Gary, that's so different with your house, Gary, is that you never seem all that attached to anything. You're willing to have it, but also willing to let it go. What's that?
Well, I don't, it's like I always have this point of view that I don't own anything. It owns me. The only reason I have it is because I get up and go to work to keep it, you know, it's like, and people take care of it, and, you know, I have a maid to take care of stuff. And it's like, and I'm really good at it. I mean, I can clean a house, even as big as the house I have, I can clean the house and have it really beautiful in, you know, 4 or 5 hours. I know how to clean. And yet I would rather not have to clean. So it's so amazing to see beautiful things not being cared for. And I see a lot of that. And, it's just amazing to me when you see beautiful stuff, why would you not have it? Why would that not be the way you lived your life around the beauty of things? You go out in nature. And that's the other thing. I would go out in nature and I'd go, you know, walking in the woods. And wherever you got deep forest, the old trees just kind of like do something to you. They contribute to in ways that nothing else does. And that's the way I feel your house should be and your furniture should be and everything in your life should be. There should be this contribution that is just like the deep woods are, this sense of peace, the sense of possibility, and the sense of more than even hope. But that's my point of view.
So, Gary, you just mentioned about that you're actually willing to get up and go to work to take care of it all. And it's one thing I wouldn't mind talking a little bit about, because I see no one who actually, you know, has and receives all of these things in their life is lazy. It's like Christopher, you know, myself, yourself, Brendan, Dane, etc., and so many other people I know of, we're not afraid to get up and go to work and take care of it. So can you talk a little bit more about that, sort of leading in with what Christopher said about committing to your life and the willingness to actually get up and go to work and create for this?
Well, that is the commitment to your life. I mean, I think it's just beautiful the way that Chris said that, because it's like it was that, you know, buying those two little silver salts was a commitment to actually having a life. And it's like, it's so rare that people have any commitment to their own life. And it's like, you look at, and it's like, I've seen people who like committed to their lives 20%. They had magnificent lives, but they still were only committed 20%. Once they were willing to commit to more, everything in their life increased.
So the willingness to commit to your future as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the cool part of that as well is what occurred for me is if I actually look back, like it had only been about 5 years or even less, 4 years from when I first bought those salts to the, when my husband and I were applying for a mortgage to buy our first home. They asked on the mortgage application what our physical assets were, and they wanted us to list things like a television and a fridge, and we didn't bother with any of that. But we looked around our house, and we looked at what we had accumulated in the last 3-4 years with fine furniture, jewelry, silver. And when we looked at it and we added it all up and we assumed that if we sold it all for half of what we paid for it, we still had over $150,000 in value worth of stuff. And based on that, the bank was more than happy to give us a loan for our first mortgage. That's pretty incredible after only after 3 years of not really having much of a life, so to speak, to really making a commitment and how quickly it adds up.
So would you say that you would have been avoiding creating your life before, Chris, or something else?
Yeah, yeah. I told myself I was on an adventure, being a bit of a gypsy of consciousness, wandering here and there and everywhere. And what's really interesting is I have way more of an adventure now. I have way more travels. I see way more. And yet I still have so much more.
Oh, I love that. So how many lies and justifications and reasons are people coming up with for not actually creating their life and not functioning from this place of the art of consumption? And everything at that,
yeah,
is, if you're listening to this right now, just going down, create it. Right and wrong, good and bad, pock and pot, all known, shorts, boys and beyond. So we are off to our next break. They're coming up rather quickly. So don't forget to check out The Art of Consumption coming up in August with Gary Douglas and Christopher Hughes on accessconsciousness.com. And we're off to a break. Don't go away, because I'm sure Christopher and Gary have a lot more to talk about. We'll be back really soon.
Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Hi, my name is Monica and I'm the host of Co-Creating Now. Give yourself an opportunity to connect with your all-knowing higher self and manifest joy, love and peace together every Tuesday, 11 a.m. Eastern.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Would you like to be a part of creating a sustainable future on planet Earth? The El Lugar Foundation, created by Gary Douglas and Dr. Dane Hare, is a non-for-profit organization providing alternative ways of working with and preserving land for a sustainable future. To donate and learn more, go to www.crowdrise.com/El Lugar. What kind of earth would you like to see passed on to the next generation and beyond? www.crowdrise.com, El Lugar.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. You're with Simone Millicent and Brendan Watts sneezing in the background, and on Joy of Business with Christopher Hughes and Gary Douglas. And we're talking about the art of consumption. Hey, I want to ask you a few more questions. And one of them I want to just talk about quickly is, what does it mean to consume? Because consumption is sort of has this connotation of using something up. Can you clarify that a little bit more for us?
Well, the thing is, it's like you breathe air, don't you? Are you consuming it?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, but it's like, do you deserve the air you breathe? No, not really, but you do it anyway.
Yes.
And the thing is, it's like we all take energy from, you know, we take energy from each other all the time. We consume the energy of other people.
Okay, so all the judgments and projections that people have that you shouldn't be doing something, or you shouldn't, like you guys have sort of been catching on with the need and the greed and the deserving and all of that sort of thing, and finding the value of you and knowing the value of you, rather than, it's like, so the judgment of this reality is more about the consumption of it rather than the, what I see both of you are talking about is the joy of receiving.
Yes, and it's like the thing is, most people have a point of view that consuming is bad because that means you're going to use up the planet. Well, it's like one of the things I love about the antiques is like it's consuming, but it's consuming that which has no longer a value to others, but has an essence of others that can be a gift. And it's like, I love that. And it's like, I love beautiful things. It's like, you know, to me, smelling a flower is a form of consumption. You know, it's like, are you having the joy of that or not?
Aha. Uh-huh. So it's just our judgments of what we've decided consuming is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you both talk a little bit more about receiving and what that looks like and the awareness of the future that we could have if we chose to, and what that would and could create? Not only for us,
well,
but also for the planet.
You go, Chris.
Well, it's amazing that in today's society, consumption is there's a reason I think why people judge it the way we do. We automatically have this resistance to the way things are marketed and pushed at us and sold. Companies out there that make furniture, like IKEA, for example, are constantly telling us to put our old stuff on the curb and come and get a fresh new look. Come and get more. And it's not from the joy of having more, or having a bigger life. It's from getting more of your money. That's their underlying sort of message and point of view. It's never necessarily about adding more to your life, which is the receiving aspect you were talking about earlier. I mean, one of the most interesting things that Gary, you've ever said to me in an access class was the point of having money is to take care of your body, and the amount you're willing to receive for your body and treat it. It's like the difference of flying economy class versus flying business class. Yeah, it's a hugely different price tag to make the choice to have one or the other. But the gift it is for your body is so entirely different.
Yeah, well, that's like I couldn't afford to fly business class when I first started. It's like there's no way I could afford it. So I went economy, and then I ended up with all this mileage. And I go, what am I going to do with this mileage? And then so I decided to do an upgrade. I remember going into the first class, section on my upgraded thing, and I went, oh my God, everybody's going to know I'm a fake. I'm just doing an upgrade.
Oh, you're not the only one that's done that.
You know, and it's like, and I felt like I was such a charlatan that I was really not a first class flyer. I was a second rate flyer who just happened to have enough miles. But it's like once you get to the point where you realize, wait a minute, I got to take care of my body. If I want to create a future, I've got to keep my body going for a long time. So I need to take care of it. And people don't, I watch people work themselves to death. My dad did that. He worked himself to death. He died when he was 41. And it's like, you know, you can work yourself to death, or you can work to take care of yourself. Last 2 years of my dad's life, he actually changed the way he lived. He went and did things for himself. And it was only after he died that I discovered that he'd been told he had 2 years to live. And I thought, why is my dad changing and doing all this weird stuff he's doing? He started going places for him. He started doing things that he enjoyed. He started looking out after himself. And I was quite amazed and, you know, thrilled to recognize that he did that after the fact. But, you know,
what if we didn't have to wait until we thought we were going to die to actually have that?
I mean, you spoke about even the touch, et cetera, with your body when you go into your house, Gary. It's like these beautiful things that are great to touch. I know, like when I was driving my car the other day, you know, with the roof down and the wind in my hair, it's like, that's my body thoroughly enjoying every moment, like every molecule of my body just going, oh, that feels great. And it's like, and I can get that jumping into the ocean. And I also, I mean, I love drinking out of a beautiful wine glass. And, you know, I mean, I can drink out of a plastic cup if I have to, But, you know, drinking out of a beautiful crystal glass or something that's just so nurturing, or a silver goblet. It's like, and how the wine, the cold wine makes the whole entire silver goblet, you know, freeze up and get all frosted. And you have this, like, imagery of being, you know, the whole royalty thing of, you know, years and years ago having silver blood from drinking from a silver cup. There is an elegance to that that is undescribable and indescribable if you haven't chosen to receive that. And I get how much that actually creates a future. And one of the things, well, I'd also like to ask you, yeah, go ahead.
Well, that's the thing. And you brought that up earlier about the future, Simone, because so much of our society is going in the direction of IKEA and of Costco and of buy bigger, buy convenience, buy bulk. And it's not about these beautifully crafted art, you know, pieces that were made by artisans and craftsmen and artists. It's about convenience rather than ease and elegance and beauty. And all of these arts are being lost as a result. And if you take the opportunity, say that again.
Yeah, because that feels more like consumption to me.
Right.
What do you mean by negative consumption?
Well, that's using up and having, you know, having excess rather than having the joy of something. It's like, if you're not doing it for the joy, why are you doing it?
Right. And that's where I see so many people going wrong. Or not, I mean, going wrong is a funny way to put it. But they have adopted this negative connotation towards consumption. You know, we've misapplied, misidentified what consumption really is. I was, when we talked about that earlier, I did a quick Google search. And from the old Latin, consume actually meant to take under, not necessarily to use up or to waste or to eat. Those are sort of later definitions of the word that we've adopted, which, again, I found quite interesting. To take under has a totally different connotation.
Yeah, well, it's like taking it under your wing. It's like taking it into your life in a way that you don't do it from the point of view of trying to be excessive. You do it from the elegance of the simplicity of something. You know, it's like there's a simplicity to those elegance. I mean, I love the fact that you have learned, Chris, all those different types of things that they had in silver. I mean, they had a different spoon, a different fork for everything in life. And you have shown
Absolutely.
Me some stuff. When you showed me about ice cream spoons, I thought I was going to lose it. I couldn't believe that they had an ice cream spoon. And it was,
yeah.
And it had a fork on the end.
Yeah, it had a fork on the end. And if you see a French ice cream service, they have, because ice cream at the time, to get it cold before the art of, you know, before we had refrigeration, they had to be frozen in blocks that were so hard that they would take a blade. They have these beautiful arched, almost like scimitar blades, all engraved and chased in gold gilded silver in some of these fine French sets. And you would warm the blade in water so that it would cut through these slabs of ice cream that you could then put on people's plates. I mean, how How decadent and elaborate and joyful and fun is that, a way to have your dessert rather than just, you know, a scoop from a plastic tub in the freezer?
Reality. I love the way you talk, Chris. So Brendan is actually in the room with me at the moment, and both him and I are smiling and chuckling. It's like my whole body gets excited the way you talk about things like that. It's like the way you describe things is such a turn on and such an elegance and such a gift and such a place of being able to receive the energy of that. And I get it, your whole body starts to receive from the gratitude you have for these things.
Yeah, well,
the great thing is actually feeling the excitement in his body.
Yeah.
Talking about it.
That was my body. Not his, my body. All of our bodies.
But that's what we said earlier. We were talking about the bodies, and I was speaking to another antique dealer here in Brisbane earlier in the week, and we were talking about what the world would be like if there was no musicians and no craftsmen and no painters and no carvers and no silver and goldsmiths. And I mean, what we came up with, the only thing left that there would be that was any fun is sex.
Well, and
all right.
People don't have much fun in sex either. not very
Yeah, I know. They ought to try consuming a little there. Oops.
Mm.
Well, okay, so the art of consumption in sex. What does that look like quickly in the next like 1 minute before we go to break?
That's a whole other program, honey. Talk about a cliffhanger.
That's 1 minute. Okay,
it, to
but
me,
then
it's
if
the,
you just tap into the energy of Chris and him laughing,
it's the,
that's the,
it's the
consumption
it's,
of sex.
Exactly. Again, with my 200-year-old crystal French glass beside me full of beautiful Italian wine, it's the Dionysian indulgence in joy with your body and others.
Ooh,
I
like
love it.
Dionysian,
I like it.
So we are going to head off to another break, and I just looked up the website, so you can go to accessconsciousness.com. If you search under classes, go to Gary Douglas, and you'll find The Art of Consumption. It's 3 calls on August 1st, 2nd, and 3rd at 2 p.m. Pacific time. So sign up, join Gary Douglas and Christopher Hughes, and don't go away. We've got one more segment, lots to talk about. See you soon.
Would your business and life like to be bigger? Would you like to have more fun with everything you do? Simone Millicis travels the world facilitating Joy of Business seminars. These classes are for you if you would like to create more money and joy, expand your business, and work smarter, not harder. Join her live or watch the online seminar from the comfort of your own home. Go to www.accessjoyofbusiness.com to register and for more information.
As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is. Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at Om Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. Om Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Hi, this is Angela Levesque, host of Entanglement Radio. Join me Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern for inspiring conversations with visionaries in spiritual science and conscious healing. Entanglement Radio, Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern. Transcendent talk for the conscious mind.
Your conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. You're with Simone Millis as your host on Joy of Business, and I am so lucky to be here with Mr. Christopher Hughes and Mr. Gary Douglas talking about the art of consumption. So this is our last segment here, and I had a couple of questions that people did send in because they knew I was going to be doing this, and one of them was, if you were going to change the world, how would you choose to live? What are like some top, you know, three tips that both of you could give to people on how you could start to live if you were willing to change the world and be that?
My point of view, number one,
yes,
life is a celebration. You know, there was a book called Annie Mame by a guy named Patrick Dennis. And one of the quotes in there was, life's a banquet and most poor sons of bitches are starving to death. And I think that's pretty much the case, because people, instead of creating and enjoying everything that they do, they take the least amount they can do, as though that's avoiding consuming something that is wrong to consume. What if there was no wrongness in consuming? It was just
Absolutely.
The joy of it.
And my addition to that is, what can you add? What can you add to your life? If you're going to have a cup of coffee every morning, why not have it in a marvelous cup? Absolutely the most exquisite, joyful cup you can find that makes your heart sing. You know, if you have a couple flowers growing in the garden, you know, why not put them in a lovely little crystal vase so that everything, that you can always up the ante and push the envelope of having more and having it be a more opulent, elegant, beautiful experience.
So actually enjoying what
one.
You're creating.
Yes. Enjoy your life and you will create a better world.
Yes. And number two?
Well, that's, you know, Chris gave number two, I gave number one, and you have to get number three.
Put it back under me. Enjoy. Well, the one thing I would like to say too is, it's like when you... I see that this reality sort of has this lid on how much you can create. I mean, there was this great analogy of story that goes with the jumping fleas. And they used to have these jumping fleas. They'd do these experiments and put them in a glass box. And they would have this roof on it that was obviously, a glass lid. And these fleas would jump to the height of the lid. And that's obviously how far they could go. And then they would take the lid off the box, and the fleas would still only jump to that place. Rather than they could jump out, they could jump higher, but they would only, because it was like a habitual thing, they would only jump as far as the lid went. And it's like, how many of you out there listening are creating your own, you know, glass flea box, easy for me to say, and only jumping to the height of the roof that doesn't even exist? I see so many people project in this reality that it's okay to have XYZ, but you're not allowed to have more than that. I mean, recently, you know, we just bought a house on the river in Noosa with yourself, Gary, and Dane here, and Brendan, the four of us bought this house. And the amount of judgment that brought up in most people's world was really interesting to me, because we already have a house. That's acceptable. One house, we have a dog, we tick that box, we have a kid, tick that box, we even have a fence, we tick that box. And then we went and did something
else
that was considered beyond
that. You have too many
that.
Cars. You have too many
we
cars.
We have too many
too
cars.
Too many jet skis and too many everything.
And too many jet skis. Dr. Dane's fault, we have too many jet skis. We have three jet skis at our house. But that is like, to me, that's the art of consumption. It's not just what you enjoy. It's like, keep going. And people talk about us, you know, living in Australia, and we've got this house and this is now our home. It's like, there's nothing in our world that we would describe that as, this is it. This is what we choose for this 10 seconds in our life. So what are you choosing in this 10 seconds in your life that you enjoy, and yet also allow the change to occur? Allow yourself to create more. I mean, we've spoken about the possibility of, you know, in a couple of years, maybe getting a house in the south of France or in Italy, because we spend so much time in Europe, and it just sounds like fun. Which is part of what Gary was saying is number one. It's like a celebration of life and living. It's like, what if you chose because it was just fun? And what if every time you chose for the fun of it, you actually created way more? Like, what if you were willing to live out of the box, function out of the box, and not allow anyone, no one's projections or judgments, limitations that they have of themselves to be put upon you to stop you? What if no one could stop you? What if you kept asking for more and enjoying life and living and finding out what it is that you would like to have in life? And everything that doesn't allow that, I'm going to destroy and uncreate it. Time to Godzillion. Right and wrong, good and bad, pock and pot, all nine shorts, boys and beyond. And if you've been listening to the show, you would have heard that clearing statement quite a few times. But if not, you can go to a website called theclearingstatement.com or go to accessjoyofbusiness.com and you'll find out more. And I'm going to do a slight little plug for myself as well, that I've got a Joy Business class coming up in Denver, Colorado in September, 1st, 2nd, 3rd of September. And so come to Denver, Colorado. Come and meet me. Brendan's just put a bag on, and it's called Putting the Fun Back in Business. It's an Access Joy Business bag, and it looks just stunning on him. He's off to go to work. He's off to put the fun back in business and set up for Gary's Choice.
I thought he was going to model it for you, the fun back in business.
Nothing but the bag. Just wearing the bag. Maybe I'll ask him to do that later.
Just wearing the bag.
And then I can study the art of consumption in a different way.
Exactly. Now we're getting to the art of consumption with facts. Okay, good.
Exactly. Well, we have about 5 more minutes left. So if you guys could ask each other anything, what would you ask? Or what else would you like to leave the listeners with? Any tools or questions or something that they can take away and start to know that they're not wrong, because that's what's projected at you, for actually desiring more in life?
Well, for me, it's like every day is like what else is possible is really the way in which I function. I look at everything and I go, wow. You know, that's beautiful. I'd love to live with that. And then I look at it and I go, I don't have any place for it. Okay, now what am I going to do? And I keep looking for
house.
Possibility. I need to get a bigger house, yeah. That's what Dane told me the other day. We need a 10,000 square foot house so he can have 3,000 square feet for his closet.
Well, Brendan told me the other day, he said, honey, this is serious now. This is actually a real problem. We need a bigger closet. He's like, I'm not joking. It's actually a serious problem now. I was like, okay, I get it. I'm not sure what we're going to create, but what can we create? But how many times do you see the requirement for something more in your life that it would actually create more for your life? And then because it doesn't A, fit, or B, it's unacceptable, or whatever that judgment is, and then so you stop yourself. You start to limit yourself, and how many of you have found limiting yourself easier or the choice that you always choose rather than just stopping for a moment and pock and pot everything that is and ask, what is it that I would truly desire to create in my life and living? I mean, this is your life. This is not a dry run. It's not a test run. It's like, are you enjoying the way you live it?
You mean it's not a dress rehearsal?
No. It's not a dress rehearsal, Mr. Gary Douglas. And if it was a dress rehearsal, you'd be doing mighty fine. It's like with the shoes and the shirts and the clothing that you wear, you would be passing the flying colors.
Like, I figure I got to look as good as I can. I'm so old and ugly now. I used to be beautiful and I could wear anything and look good. Now I have to wear good clothes because I'm not beautiful and young anymore. Now you youngsters know how to go out in style. What can I tell you?
That's the biggest load of something I've ever heard.
And we're not buying it.
And you're not going to consume that, are you?
No, I ain't. Nope. I ain't consuming it. I ain't buying it.
So how many people have been consuming the lies of this reality rather than actually the art of consumption, of the elegance and the nurturing and the joyful and exuberant expression of living?
Well, I think one of the best things you said, I think you said something that's so brilliant there, Simone, when you said, you know, why do we let the judgments of our lives stop us and the judgments of others and the judgments of anything? It's like judgment is only the thing that kills the possibility and the joy of living. And don't let it rule your life.
So I remember, Gary, you said to me a long time ago that when you realized that judgment was like a big black hole, whether you were judging yourself or judging someone else, and it was never, ever going to create anything greater, you made the demand that you would stop judging, that you wouldn't have judgment in your life. And you told me that years and years and years ago. And I know that most of us continuously judge ourselves. That's our first priority. And what if you could come out of judgment? What if that was the beginning of the art of consumption? What if that was the beginning of you having the elegance of living? Maybe you can't get those two, you know, salt shakers, or you can't buy the silver spoon today. But what if it started with you coming out of judgment? What if it started with you being honoring of yourself and starting to value yourself? So we have literally, like, I think 1 minute left, Mr. Christopher. Is there anything that you want to add today and invite the people to come and play?
Well, the question that you asked earlier is one I like to play with. And that is, if you're going to change the world, how would you like to live? And what would you like to wear? It's like, there's no right or wrong answer. You don't have to love antiques if that's not your thing. But whatever you do, whatever you add to your life, make sure it adds joy. Make sure it's fun for you, not the way you think it should look for other people.
And if you want to check out the Antique Guild, you can go to theantiqueguild.com.au and sign up for their newsletter and check them out on Instagram. It's like they have the best photos on Instagram. They do such a good job of it. These beautiful, beautiful things. And even if you can't afford to buy something today, what if you looked at it and started asking for more to show up in your life? So go to theantiqueguild.com.au. And again, if you want to sign up for Gary Douglas and Christopher Hughes' call, go to accessconsciousness.com, search classes under Gary Douglas, and you'll find The Art of Consumption starting on the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd of August. So both of you, I am so grateful that you joined me here today whilst we're in Hong Kong and Christopher's in Brisbane and he's going to meet us in Japan next week. Thank you for coming, and thank you for being you in my life.
Thank you for being Laura. Part of the consumption of my life. You make my life more consumed. Me too.
Thank you. We'll see you next time. Bye, everybody.
Bye.